RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Couldn't see this one coming, Val, and...
Everybody's freaking out, Beans. Wow. Okay. So, obviously, it's election. It's the day after Election Day, and there's, of course, been nothing but chaos. Last night, we did our live stream. It was so awesome to have Rich Barris there for the whole entire night to ask him, like, any question I could possibly think of.
He had a real busy night last night. Then he was up until about 4 in the morning with Steve Bannon. But you guys did a great job. We kept dipping in and out. I dipped in and out maybe like 2 or 3 times in the middle of over the course of all the stuff that I was doing on my side of things. But geez, it was a huge night of hand holding. That was certainly the case.
Yeah, and it's not going to stop anytime soon. So what I woke up to, I fell asleep legitimately with my phone in my hand, lights all on, and the TV blaring. Like, I woke up like, you know, you ever wake up like all confused?
Yeah.
Where the hell am I? Yeah, that's what happened to me yesterday. So when I woke up, I looked at Twitter, and of course, the crazy began. And of course, understandably so, we have a lot of very frantic people out there right now. You know, we saw just a few minutes ago, given it's 10 o'clock Eastern right now, that Michigan just found 120-something thousand votes for Joe Biden.
All of them for Joe Biden.
Listen, guys, President Trump came out last night, made a very passionate and honest speech. If you think for even a split second that any of this is going to go unfought, you are out of your minds. We are in for a long haul here, and the lawyers are already mobilized. Everybody's getting into place, if not already there. And it's going to be a fight. But it's very clear. If you look at the electoral map right now without these too close to calls, I forget who it is that did it. I'm going to find it really quickly. They use just the confirmed races as of right now. And let's see.
Like if you go into North Carolina, Georgia.
Yes. So right now, the way the electoral map stands without any of the question marks is Trump at 268 and Biden at 182 or 88, I'm sorry, with 100.
What was it? It was Brian Cates had put that on out there in I forget what time at night it was. It was right before, probably right around 11:30 or so. 11 around the time that everybody said, you know what, we're going to sleep.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that everybody on the right, commentators and all, decided that they were going to go to bed.
11:30. Who the hell? Well, an election night ending before midnight on the East Coast?
Yeah.
This is the reason why I used to hate election nights as a kid. A, I didn't understand what the hell was going on. And B, it was a long, boring night and you never got an answer until the early parts of the morning.
Yes. 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 And so if we're looking at this, if we're looking at this map the way it stands as of 10:02, without the Michigan and Wisconsin debauchery that's happening as we speak right now, and, you know, with Pennsylvania almost 1 million votes up, with them finding ballots everywhere right now, you know, Pennsylvania, Philly came out and said, we can't count the ballots until we scan everything in and blah, blah. They took them home in, I think, what was it, Virginia? They took, like, all the ballots home with them. This is going to be a fight, okay? I'm blown away because I really didn't expect this to happen. The down ballot races, Frank, do not portend with what they're trying to tell us is happening for presidential elections statewide. You can't have a James winning by the margin he won and then the president behind. It doesn't make any sense. So, looking at this map the way it stands right now, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Wisconsin, Michigan, New York. That's ridiculous. Virginia, not called, which I think Virginia was the biggest snafu of the entire evening. There'll be a focus there, too. With Trump winning North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, and Utah, he stands at 268 electoral votes. So what I want to say again, if I could tell you that the number of the I'm overwhelmed with messages of very scared people, which is understandable, but I'm going to vow I'm not going to get emotionally thrown off by what's going on right now, because the silence coming from the president, the campaign, is not a concession. It's a, okay, let's sit back and wait and see what exactly they do here. What are they going to do? And it looks like what they're going to do is say that they found, oh, here's 125,000 votes for Biden. I mean, it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah. I'm not scared. I'm frustrated. I'm pissed off.
Yeah,
that's for sure. I'm very mad because this is the end. This is the end. At least for me, this is the end of it all, because there's never going to be an uncontested election again.
No, this is crazy.
Not unless, of course, there's a reimagining of American life over here that needs to happen, because we can't go on like this. The people that think that all is well are some of the most evil people, whether they know it or not. They are in bed with evil. If you were looking at this right now and going, wow, what a turn of events. Well, it looks like our boy Biden actually might win. Oh, wow, we might beat Trump. Hey, you know what? By any means necessary.
Yeah.
You are a despicable son of a bitch.
Yeah. Larry Schweiker just put out a status thread right now. Latest, Georgia, too close to call. Barris has it at 40,000 Trump final, but they're going to try and steal it in Fulton. Michigan, Biden overcame a 600,000 vote Trump lead. Barris says these were all absentees at unrealistic top end levels in every single precinct. This looks like theft. 600,000 votes in Michigan. It's not statistically possible. Boots on the ground there. In Arizona, both Ducey and Ward have advised President Trump that there are enough Republican votes out there to reclaim Arizona. Rich Barris says that outstanding votes have been going to Trump 3-1, so it's definitely a possibility. And Barris thinks that the Trump advantage is too big in Pennsylvania, even for fraud. I mean, Pennsylvania, Frank, turned out like, whoa.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I was. The last I heard was he had a 700,000 vote lead in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then that's going to be, where are they going to find 800,000 votes?
In Philly. That's what they're saying, in Philly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And not only that, but don't forget those posters. Philly had been a problem all day. Those posters they had hanging with Biden, 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 Democrat, Democrat, Democrat at the polling locations. People threw a fit and they had to take them down. They were fighting with the election workers.
Electioneering all over the place. Poll workers kept out of places. I think that's the thing there. I saw five states, four of them all with Democrat
governors
and secretaries of state and all that stuff. I four of them. I'm saying to myself, okay, so everybody's going to sleep at 11:30. Okay, so that means that while everybody else is sleeping and the lights are out in these five states that are so important to this election now, what's going to be happening? I'm thinking about the possession over whatever the hell's going on. When you turn out the lights, you say everybody go home. What the hell happens when nobody's looking?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was just thinking about physically turning in for the night. And what the hell does that mean for these people that you know did not sleep a wink in Michigan? They didn't sleep a wink in Wisconsin. This is not something – they weren't tired. They're trying to find a way to get Biden over the finish line.
Yeah. Yeah. And continuing on a thread, Frank, Rich says that Trump should demand a re-canvass of Michigan right away. Right away, because It just, it doesn't make any good sense. And then Nevada, razor thin, could go to Trump, but we have to worry about fraud there too. And Georgia, they'll try to steal it in Fulton. We think actually that Trump has a 40,000 plus lead at the end of Georgia. At the end of Georgia. And now everybody understands why it was so important that we got that justice confirmed. Because at the end of the day, after all these statewide skirmishes are done, if there's still a question, it's going to the Supreme Court, and Roberts doesn't matter anymore.
No, he doesn't.
And that's so important.
Roberts and his butt plug doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, and you know, look. Oh, Sean Parnell won. Which was great. And looking at what we did in the House, I'm trying to get a firm number, but we are, I mean, after all of these races are counted, we could be very, very much closer. We could be neck and neck in the House of Representatives.
So that's the thing there too, because all throughout the night, everybody was concentrating on how much, because it was such a razor thin majority in the Senate. Everybody was, me particularly, I was like, okay, well, what are we doing? Are we shedding weight? Are we picking anything up? It was always good to know that Doug Jones was going to be a seat that you can confidently say is at least going to mitigate any kind of loss anywhere else in the country. But it made you forget about the House. So I was wondering, so do you have anything right now on what the margin was between in the majorities and what it is now?
I think that we have flipped. If I'm looking at this right now, we have flipped, scrolling through my text messages because I've got a lot of them. Lauren Boebert won. That's awesome. We flipped 23 seats in the House so far.
Yeah. Yeah. Red wave. All right. It was.
Yes.
It really was. If it weren't for the red wave, how much easier would this have been? For them to completely destroy and screw with us.
Well, it's a referendum. I mean, I'm looking at these graphs, right, where people are plotting the time versus the vote count, and like in Michigan, you can see like there's a straight line up of about, I don't know, 100,000 votes at a little before 6 a.m. It looks like here. And it's bull. I mean, nobody can look at this with a straight face and say that they found no votes for President Trump. I think it was like 10,000 votes or something.
Oh, I see this. Yeah. Right there. You're talking about the state race in Wisconsin.
Yeah. And yes,
there is a vertical line.
Yes.
For Joe Biden. Yes. There's a vertical line right before 6 a.m. You can see where they just dumped. They just dumped. Thousands and thousands of votes in. It's a vertical line, and they just shoot right past Republican votes, and now they're neck and neck, supposedly. It's so apparent, but they know that the people who are rooting for them are going to say, oh no, this is legit no matter what. They know that they have the media on there. They could not do this if they did not have the media.
Correct. And you know, let me tell you something. Fox News last night, they put the nail in their own coffin. If I could tell you the number, listen, we had at one point on YouTube almost, I don't know, I think 15,000 live concurrent viewers. By the time I closed down my stream, we were up at around 100,000 just on YouTube. I know there were tens of thousands of people watching on Cloud Hub, and every single one of them was like, thank goodness for Newsmax, OANN, and you guys, because they could not stand watching Fox News. They screwed up so bad last night. As a matter of fact, I think I've got a clip of Tucker Carlson talking about how badly they screwed up last night. Does anyone want to hear?
Yeah. And you know what? For everybody out there, what I always say, well, why the hell does anybody still watch Fox? And he says, well, it's because of Tucker. And it's because, well, you know what? It's time for Tucker to realize his worth. And to realize that if people are going to Fox to see him, they will go anywhere to see him. And I hope he can. I hope he can plot a more independent a career path whenever his contract is up. To hell with this network.
Yeah, yeah, it's over. Here we go. He's on Fox talking about how bad Fox is. Here we go.
Says something. Who are they? I would say in some very specific ways, we, the media, I participated in it for 30 years, have not been credible. We have lost trust. And that's just, I think that's really bad. And it's something that we need to fix. And the obvious problem is something we said we were going to correct in 2016, which is we don't know anybody who votes for Trump. And so you really got the sense watching everybody that, like, you know, it's kind of embarrassing to support Trump or whatever. And that's why the rallies were such a huge shock to a lot of people in the last week. All these people unapologetically saying, I love Donald Trump. And it's like, I've never met anybody who says something. Who are these people? We have a huge problem in our business with being cut off from the country we cover. And I would say a lot of power centers in this country have that problem, but we have it in the media, and I really sincerely hope we fix it because we're moving toward, like, zero credibility, and that's bad.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Molly Hemingway earlier in the show about the president and his supporters feeling like he was not running only against Joe Biden, but was running against a lot of the media as well.
You, Brett Baer.
Couldn't get on some of those rallies. We aired rallies from Democrats and the president throughout this process, but they always felt like it was an uphill battle. He is still has a path to 270 tonight, and as Britt mentions every few minutes, the betting odds are increasing for President Trump.
Well, they are, and I have to say, because I think I'm bitter about it, and it's worth being bitter about. We found out in the final days of this campaign that members of the president's family were under an active FBI investigation into business deals that we, I think, pretty conclusively proved he knew about, parts of which he approved of. Tony Bobulinski was a direct participant in those conversations with the former vice president. I'm not accusing him of a crime. I'm merely saying he was involved. And that story was utterly squelched. Bobulinski's name wasn't mentioned on any other channel apart from Fox News. It was completely ignored on purpose, not because it wasn't newsworthy. It most certainly was newsworthy, but because they were taking a partisan position on behalf of a presidential candidate. Now, it's not just a matter of being annoyed that the media are liberal or whatever. They've always been liberal. That's fine. I'm not mad about that. I accept it as reality. Why it's scary is that on a night like tonight, the whole country, 350 million of us, will only know who the president is when the media tell us.
Mm-hmm. And they're not, if there's nothing else we need to do this can't continue this way with the media. They are evil, horrible people, all of them. It looks like the Trump campaign just...
Relief. I can't get over this vertical line in Wisconsin.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous.
I can't get over it. It's vertical. It's almost like, okay, well, there is no way that we can get neck and neck with Republicans unless we literally inject thousands of votes right here, right now. Like we don't even have time to slowly trickle it in. We need it right now. They said, who the hell cares? At this point, who the hell cares? It's so sloppy.
It is.
It's
it
just
really
such a
is.
Sloppy job. To see it happen in slow motion. You know, this was the thing I was saying last night. I had a revolving door of guests coming on, and I posed the question to a couple of them because I wanted to see what everybody was thinking. And the question was based on the premise that, well, here I am watching all of this. And this was never about whether or not the president has a mandate with the American people. It was never about whether or not the president has more enthusiasm. He has more going for him than Joe Biden or anybody that Democrats have to offer. It wasn't a matter of that. It was a matter of when we sit back on election night, what is going to be tried and when is it going to be tried? The entire night when I was seeing states drop 1, 2, 3, when the entire Midwest is trending so favorably in Trump's direction. We're talking hundreds of thousands of votes in each state.
Yep.
I'm saying to myself, okay, well, listen, this is great, but it's not 2016. They are prepared for Trump. They didn't think he was going to win in 2016. They were caught with their pants down. They're prepared this time. This is not going to be this easy. When is the other shoe going to drop? And then came 11:30 and everybody said, I'm tired.
Yeah, we're tired. Fuck, we need to go to bed.
Unbelievable. I was waiting the whole night. That's what my entire broadcast was about. Hey, everybody, it looks great. We are completely validated on several fronts on how popular and how much of a mandate the president has. But when is the shoe going to drop? And here's the vertical line. What kind of a shoe is that?
So Emerald Robinson just came out. Trump campaign say they still are positive about Nevada and Arizona. Pennsylvania is a win. Legal teams are in place in case illegal ballots show up. So they're declaring Pennsylvania. They're not going to let that one go. Arizona up. They say he wins by 30K. So let's see what happens today. If we're going to end up in court on this, and if they can't fudge their way in Pennsylvania, which it doesn't appear that they can. You know, Pennsylvania is the state that said until November 6th or whatever, they're counting without a good postmark and all that BS. So let's see what happens in Pennsylvania.
The whole point here is, and I know that there's a growth, there's a shrinking minority of people that is that are taking this, just being spoon-fed this shit. But the big thing here is that once again, when all is said and done, even if they do have to finally say, fine, Mr. Orange bastard, you are the president for another 4 years, they want to have an asterisk next to his name. There needs to be an asterisk next to Donald Trump's name. There needs to be this aura, this cloud of illegitimacy painted over every move, every step he takes, every breath he takes. That's just what this is. So if they are finally backed the F off, it's not going to be without slapping an asterisk on them.
Well,
and then, of course, we're talking about just terrorism at that point, because they cannot survive 4 years now.
Well, no, not the way they are right now. No, and I don't see that changing. And, you know, talking about this, the illegitimacy argument is not going to matter if we continue to pick up House seats, Frank. The Senate looks to be absolutely fine. I was actually amazed Graham held on to a seat in South Carolina. I was stunned. Really thought he was going to lose it. I was proud of South Carolina last night, because also in Nancy Mace took over from Joe Cunningham, the horrible, horrible, indivisible, extremist leftist back candidate in Charleston who stole the election from Katie Arrington 2 years ago. He's gone. Fantastic news for South Carolina. We're back solidly red again. Was a little bit scary. The voters came out and made their voices heard. So we're flipping House seats. Their illegitimacy argument is not going to matter if we have more control in these places of power.
And especially not since the reason why Trump has been the recipient of such a landslide is such an overwhelming groundswell of support. The reason why is because people are awake. People are waking up and they're seeing how fishy, how screwed up things are in the media. They're seeing how dirty the Democrat Party is, what they're willing to do to win. And when they see things like this happen last night with these five states that would push Donald Trump well over 300 electoral college votes, well over 300.
Yeah.
When they see this happen, what's that going to do? Make them think, oh, well, maybe Donald Trump isn't as popular as I thought. This is only more. This is only more of an apocalypse, more of a revealing.
Hold on a second. Hold on. So, this is such a look. John James is still winning in Michigan. And this is what I was saying earlier. If John James is winning in Michigan, there's no like unless they're shaving votes off everywhere. And then we're seeing a story out of Philly right now. Photos of campaign posters at Philadelphia polling places are deliberately deceptive, says the city district attorney. I mean, come on. They were everywhere. They were everywhere. This is upside down world, Frank. How do we, regardless of what happens as we're talking about, how do we move forward from here this divided? How? With one set of people completely hell-bent on destruction and an upside-down world, and one who just wants the rule of law and for things to continue that way.
It's going to have to start with a president. If he does get on in, and this, we can put this all behind us. It's going to have to start with a president who understands and understands, actually embraces this can't go on. And if he does actually or she does actually love their country, things need to be picked apart. The country needs to be picked apart. This national government that should not be needs to be picked apart into this federalist union again. That's number one. That's the only we have to be backed off of this. There's just so much. There's so much here. I'm reading. I don't know where it's coming from. This is what is it? What the hell is this? Wisconsin reporting 101% voter turnout at this point.
Yeah, I'm seeing that too. But I just looked into the Wisconsin numbers, and that doesn't make sense to me. But yeah. They can't. They as soon as any precinct in this country starts reporting over 100% turnout, that's when the triggers are all pulled. That's when the triggers are all pulled. That's when everything goes to the wayside. Teams of scores of lawyers are in there. We're recounting every single ballot. That's
well, this is the problem that Rich Barris was bringing up last night, especially with something like North Carolina or Georgia. It's just like with the margins that President Trump is winning, you're talking about you would need 100% voter turnout in all of these states, which just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, you can always talk about how many eligible voters are in each state. But as far as 100% turnout, it just doesn't happen. So, I mean, so you're talking about these leads that would require everybody who's eligible to vote in all of these states to leave the House and have voted. Not one person was disinterested or didn't care about
every
the election.
Every single person, literally
everybody.
Everyone.
Everybody.
And then like, yeah. In some places, everyone plus all of their kids that are not 18 yet, because you've got 110% of the precinct voting. I know that this sounds like a lot of people, again, a lot of people are very upset and very desperate and very discouraged and very breathless right now. And it's completely understandable. But we are far from the end of this. Far from it. Friday, when you do the show, Frank, who knows what you'll be saying? And I'll be on a plane. It almost makes me, I mean, I miss my family, but I was considering leaving today, and I'm so glad that I didn't do that, because now I've got the day and tomorrow to just kind of like dig into all this stuff.
Yeah.
I posted a tweet, Frank, of New York.
I saw it. I checked it last night before I went to bed. I said, you know what? I want to see it and to be blasted in the face with all that red. And I know that there are people who say, yeah, but Frank, all that red is cows and farmland.
Yeah, yeah, not true. Not true. Nassau and Suffolk County, Frank. Staten Island.
There is, what is it, 29 million people that live in New York?
Yeah, something like that. Let's find out.
Let me see here. Population of New York State. Population of New York State as of 2019. What is this? Wait, hold on. Population as of 2019. Hold on, 2020. We're at pretty much 20 million people. 8 million people are in the New York area. And to say that all those people are A, eligible voters, or all those people are A, monolithic in their thinking as to who they're going to vote for is a step way too far. So you have 8 million people out of that 20 million that are in New York that, believe me, if there was 100% voter turnout in New York, it would not be a blue state.
No, it wouldn't be a blue state. We had 3691117 plus 284311. About 6.5 million people vote in New York New York yesterday. Yeah. And again, this is why I said this to my husband. New York City, this is why everybody in New York State hates New York City and the mayor so much, because they destroy the state. You're looking at literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8... 13 counties that went blue. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Maybe 35 or so counties that went red. Think about that. Just think about it. The entire state of New York looks like a red machine, save 13 counties.
States need the Electoral College.
I mean, for real. This is
states.
Yes. Because New York City holds a couple million of those votes.
You confine New York City to New York City. Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's just sick to look at. Let's see. -284.
California was the other thing, though. Before I went to bed, I checked New York and I checked California because there's so many of my friends that said, New York's going red, man. California's going red.
Yep.
I looked in California and...
It's not red at all. I mean, California is putrid.
It's like, I think there was 4 million votes for the president in California around there. There was 8 million votes for Biden. They got trounced. They got doubled up on easily.
You know,
California
what's great,
not red.
Devin Nunes kept his seat. That's great. So Biden won in New York by 848,000 votes, which is basically the Bronx.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, her district alone, there's 750,000 people or so in her district, and she got reelected last night.
Yeah, let's take a look here. Hold on. Which is she in the Bronx?
Hold on. New York, congressional district. I think it's 14. I think I'm 17. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, this is today. I think this is today. She won 68% of the vote. Only 105,000 people voted for her. I want to see New York Congressional District 14 population. There is 706,000 people in New York's 14th congressional district. Now, I don't care if you are a Democrat, Republican, a bird brain like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or an Einstein. You are not representing 706,000 people. One person's not doing that. I don't care who the hell you are.
Yeah.
But once again, she got in with 1/7 of that population voting, and that right there, I mean, if you just want to talk about straight up numbers, that's the difference between Joe Biden and Donald Trump as president.
Yeah, I'm sending you a DM right now because now I'm starting to get into these results in the House. And I want you to click on this link I just sent you in the Skype chat here and take a look at California House races right now on the eastern side of California.
On the east, it's all red.
It's all red. Which is interesting when you extrapolate out and take a look at the presidential election. And this is what I'm saying. Look across the country at all the red. Look at it. There's like, this is what bothers me. There's like barely any blue on this map comparatively. It's like a solid red wave of House candidates. And it says right now the Democrats have 185. They lost 4 seats. The Republicans have just gained 4 seats. We're at 185 to 178. 218 is the majority, and there's a lot of races that still have not been called yet. So we've got a possibility in Louisiana. We've got a possibility in Texas. Some of the Hispanic vote totals coming out of Texas were absolutely mind-blowing, with one county, 86% of the Latino vote going to President Trump in the south of Texas.
I'll tell you, when this is all said and done, and when the president is rightly allowed to continue to work, albeit under intense scrutiny from the most evil people on earth, and I hope that there's some accountability on the other side of this. The ego that this man has cannot allow him to let these people go. You cannot let these people go. The day that things are in your favor and you are the president, fire everything you have, everybody you have to fire, bring in the most radical law and order people ever, and just lay waste to everybody.
Yeah.
But the day that we have that in hand is the day that we need to start making the hashtag kiss a Cuban trend. Because my God, how amazing was Florida? How amazing the Hispanic vote
in Miami, Dade. We picked up 2 House seats down there.
It's wonderful. That's what I'm saying. Whatever created this surge, the awakening that created this surge, people realizing how poisonous the media is, whatever created this surge is not going away. And this jockeying and this legal bullshit that we're about to all embark on for the next however many weeks, that is not going to do anything but make more people realize what kind of a despotic country we are drifting toward if we continue to allow these communists that have infested the Democrat Party to have their way, to run roughshod over the entire nation. This is only going to act as a further red pill.
No, I agree with you. I do. And I'm looking right now at Wisconsin, Frank, and it looks like Joe Biden's lead actually was just sliced a bit. It's statistically tied, basically, at this point in Wisconsin. They have Joe Biden up less than 20,000 votes right now, which was more than that just a few minutes ago. So let me see what's going on in Michigan. Same thing in Michigan. I mean, less than 10,000 votes in Michigan at this point. So get your people to Michigan. Start counting. Start counting. I mean, they have almost 100% of the vote in Michigan right now. And it's statistically tied. I mean, it's 49.33% to 49.12% in Michigan. That's fraud right there. Clear as day. Michigan was being called. See, this is what they did. They in states like Florida, they preloaded in their mail-in votes early, right? They reported their mail-in early. That's why in Florida, in Arizona, too, it looked like President or Vice President Biden had won those states because they front-loaded in their absentee and mail-in votes, which is the way it should be. In these key states, they held back those votes, did the day of votes first, and then decided they were going to report what came in after, which
right,
allows
how
them...
convenient.
Yes. Same thing, you know, in Pennsylvania for some part as well, when they stopped counting in Philly and took the votes.
This pretty much, they took the Stacey Abrams Andrew Gillum model, and they're trying to put it extrapolate that out to four or five other states.
Yeah, and it looks like, to be honest, at this point, Georgia, speaking of Stacey Abrams, is in Donald Trump's column. Donald Trump has 50% of the vote, and Joe Biden's got 48. So when you get into 2 and 3 and 4 percentage points, that's a little harder to challenge. Not that it's not possible, you know, we could see a Biden challenge or a Trump challenge in any one of these places, but Stacey Abrams declared that she won Georgia last night, Frank. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, she's still at it. Oh, she's still at it. All right.
Let's see Nevada, what's going on over there as of 10 o'clock a.m. It's still too close to call Nevada. I mean, Trump is, I have President, President Trump is down by 7,000 votes. In Nevada?
In Nevada?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess so. They see all the rallying. It works.
Yeah, there's only two counties where he didn't outright win right now. Only two counties in Nevada. Clark County looks like it's leaning Joe. This is the thing. Two counties can call an entire state. Insane. Insane. And we won Alaska. And North Carolina looks like there's no way that Joe Biden's going to find 300,000 votes there. Oh, it's actually, let's see. It is. Hold on. I'll tell you how many votes.
I'll tell you another thing. That popular vote will never be won again by anybody that is not in the pocket of the Democrat Party and the media. Never, especially because that interstate compact. I did a little bit of time on the Electoral College interstate compact last night. Did you take a look at it at all?
Nope.
Let me do it again for you. Interstate compact. Here we go. So here's what we have right now. We know all throughout the year and last year there were states that were cobbling together all of their Electoral College votes and passing laws that pretty much pledged all of their votes to whoever won the national vote, the national popular vote, which is in American civics completely meaningless. But because these fucking because these communists want to be able to get around any kind of semblance of separation of powers. And they want to be able to get around the amendment process of the Constitution and actually effect change without having to get the votes because they have no mandate. they did this interstate compact where they all said, okay, guys, let's all, we blue states, let's all get together, all of our open borders, all of our no voter ID, all of our scheming, everything that allows us to run up the national popular vote in the first place. Let's compile all of that, all of our power and all of our electoral votes, our electoral college votes, and let's just award all of them collectively to whoever wins the popular vote, which yeah. we control.
Yep.
Which we control right now, Tracy. Here are the signatories right now. These are that. This is what is in effect to a big degree. Maryland, New Jersey, Illinois, Hawaii, Washington, Massachusetts, District of Columbia, Vermont, California, Rhode Island, New York, Connecticut, Colorado, Delaware, New Mexico, and Oregon. They all have agreed to pledge their votes. That is what has been enabled or enacted on the state level. That right there accounts for 196.
Aye.
Okay. The pending states that have yet to make any decision on it, which actually includes places like Ohio and Pennsylvania and Virginia and South Carolina, it accounts for another 60 electoral college votes. So if these people, there's about 282 electoral college votes that belong to states that have not been enacted or pending or anything like that. So if you talk about the states that are what they're trying to do right now, if they have their way, then all of a sudden what you're looking at here is a potentiality for the national popular vote to automatically carry a reward of nearly 260 electoral college votes.
So how would you possibly even – wow, wow.
I mean, that's what they're trying to do. I don't yeah. know how this is going to be – I don't know how this is going to be challenged legally, but – once again, these are not democratic people.
No, I mean they're destroying our. They're destroying us. They want to fundamentally destroy us right now.
Well, think about this. Think about Nevada. Nevada has been pretty reliably blue, if you ask me, in recent years. Now, let's say. Now, let me see. Did Nevada get on in on that?
They're actually right now. Hold on.
Can you tell us where we stand right now, what you know of challenges, legal challenges from the Trump administration, and how are you preparing to deal with those?
So I think, what you know that's been publicly reported, that's really all we have at this point.
Pennsylvania.
So, and I can't talk about active litigation, unfortunately. So, but as things are filed, of course, those will be publicly accessible.
You have attorneys that are going to handle that, or you bring in somebody from the outside, and who would that be?
We have a mix of, what we've been doing all along with all the litigation that's been flying this year is we have a mix of in-house and outside counsel. Plus the Attorney General is also representing us in a number of these things. So there's been a great team. I have to say the attorneys, I'm just going to give a shout out to.
Oh, a shout out in the middle of a contested. Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot. Give a shout out to attorneys. You freaking.
Well, give a shout out to, that's from Pennsylvania.
That's the Pennsylvania Secretary of State.
Yeah, with their attorney general that guaranteed a Biden victory.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. This is going to be a really, really, this is going to be, Jesus Christ.
I'm actually kind of shocked at what happened in New Jersey, Frank. I thought it was going to be much more red. I really did.
After that New York Post article, I'm not shocked. Why would anybody be shocked? I'm not shocked that New Jersey didn't go red. Why would anybody be? I know that it has the potential to, but after you read those pieces like we got from the New York Post a couple of months ago about one man who is pretty much responsible for keeping and flipping the entire state blue, saying that this is being employed all over the country and it's a very lucrative business, buying and selling of elections. And I'm asking myself, okay, well, did anybody send this on over to the FBI? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, that
anybody?
Didn't happen. Nope,
you
of
know,
course
the,
not.
The whole thing here, straight Tracy, is that the Axios story is playing out to a T. The story about about Axios and what Joe Biden had to do. Did you read that latest one from yesterday?
No.
They once again told you exactly what they're going to do. Let me see if I can find it here. Here it is. Sarah Fisher from Axios said if news organizations declare Joe Biden the mathematical president-elect, he plans to address the nation as its new leader, even if President Trump continues to fight in court, advisors tell. Now, here is the plan here, okay? Advisors tell Axios why it matters. Biden advisors learned the lesson of 2000 when Al Gore hung back while George W. Bush declared victory in a contested election, putting the Democrats on defensive while Bush acted like the winner. So if Biden is declared the winner, he'll begin forming his government and looking presidential and won't yield to Trump's to doubts that Trump might try to sow. Biden's schedule for Tuesday includes a clue to his posture. He will address the nation on election night in Wilmington, Delaware. Biden's campaign manager, Jen O'Malley Dillon, told reporters Monday that even if all the votes aren't counted tonight, the campaign should have a very good sense of where we are headed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which you would think would be in violation of every social media rule that they put out. How can you know where you're heading, Joe? We're not really concerned about what Donald Trump says. We're going to use our data, our understanding of where this is heading, and make sure that the vice president is addressing the American people. So you're projecting. I thought projecting a victory was not allowed in America in 2020. To show momentum, this is a very short article. To show momentum, Biden may begin transition announcements quickly, starting with senior staff appointments. That way, core aides won't have to worry about their own jobs, but will immediately be able to get to work. Biden plans to adopt what one confidant calls a healing tone and begin to talk about the path forward in battling the coronavirus.
Oh, geez.
Look for Biden to embrace science and talk up the role of Dr. Anthony Fauci after Trump threatened on Sunday to try to fire the trusted official. From there, the transition would move on with unprecedented speed. Biden had 8 years in the White House, and he's surrounded by aides with decades of government experience, which is not a strong suit. So the transition has made the most through agency-by-agency preparations in history, including offices no one's even thinking about. Neither is Biden. Biden's not thinking about it either. Other people are thinking for him. Biden also has blueprints, this is the last thing, for staffing every single agency and has extensive plans for executive orders, including ones to undo Trump's actions. Look for Biden to send all business signals. He won't pack the courts and is unlikely to push for repeal of the Senate's filibuster rule and its 60-vote requirement anytime soon. Instead, look for Biden to push to pass as much as possible under the banner of budget reconciliation, which requires a simple majority. So you take that, Tracy, and you take their Big Red Mirage article from a couple of weeks ago and all of the parallel work they are doing with the Transition Integrity Project. And it's just everything they've been telling us all year. It should not be a surprise to anyone.
It shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. It's exactly what they've been saying to us all year. And, you know, people know it. And I'm still going to go back to the fact that this is not going to go down without a, there's no way. I just don't, listen, put me on the record. I don't care. There is no way that I see this not going in President Trump's direction. There's no way.
Oh, I'm with you.
I really don't think it's going to happen. I'm just looking at the map right now, by the way. If everything were to stand as it is right now with the question marks, the states too close to call, if all of those states went to President Trump, he would have 308 electoral college votes to Biden's 230. If he gets Pennsylvania, Nevada, Arizona, right? And Joe Biden takes Wisconsin and Michigan, Trump is still at 282.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
If no, Nevada,
I see several. He's always had several paths.
Yeah.
And Biden, it's been slim pickings for him all night. But the only thing that this has been, the only way this has been managed, once again, we're coming back around to the media. The entire night they managed this by withholding declarations of states that Trump was clearly going to take, and keeping, at least in just a numerical sense, they always had the numerals up all night of Biden with a lead. Even though Trump had, at one point, when you're talking about Texas, Georgia, North Carolina, they're still, for some reason, dragging their feet from calling where those states were going.
Yeah.
That was 98 electoral college votes that would have taken him right to 260's front door. And they kept it at bay just so it could
look.
The
media is literally calling the presidential election as though it's their fucking job.
Yeah.
It's
Someone said last night, they tweeted on out there. I don't know who the hell it was. I just saw it and I retweeted it. They said, if Michigan can call the Senate race tonight, why do they need until Friday for the presidential race?
Right.
As simple as I could have put it, Tracy, I said, because the virus peddling media promised everyone there would be no president on election night too many times this year for that not to happen. It is as simple as that. They promised us that there would be no result. They just promised us there would be no result tonight. So they just packed it in at 11:30.
I
for no other reason.
I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't believe that they just, all right, we're done. Good night. And everyone's like, what? What?
They would have broken their promise. They people would have said, wait a second. I thought that we weren't going to get because if they got it there, people at home would know it would be discouraged. It'd be very discouraging for a lot of Democrats out there to say, wow, this was supposed to be contested for days, if not weeks. Did Donald Trump really win that handily? Are we really on that wrong? Do we need to do some more reflecting?
Sorry. We'll see what happens.
Sorry.
He said that we will make every vote count.
Oh, my God. Sorry about that.
Count all of those ballots that are left.
No, The media has been I hit the wrong button. The media has been completely complicit in this. I mean, complicit to the, this is sick. What's happening in this country is absolutely sick. You know what I'm saying this right now? When we win, there had better be a balls to the damn walls accountability push or rampage. Frank, no more of this. Oh, we need 6 more months. No more. We're done.
Yeah.
And let's just see something real quick here. If even still, even if so, if Biden takes Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, and we hold Pennsylvania, we take Arizona, and everything else stand, and North Carolina is obviously red, he still wins. There's several pathways.
Because that's just how many people came out for him.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, what do we have again? We have what's the popular vote differential right now?
3 million
again?
Yeah, 2 million votes.
2 million votes with 4 million in differential in California alone. You're talking about the popular vote coming from Los Angeles.
Literally.
You're just talking about Southern California being the popular vote differential. This man, Donald Trump, was completely doused with support. Doused with support this year.
Yeah, he like far surpassed what he'd done in 2016. And like even Rich Barris was like, this is absolutely stunning what's happening here. Stunning. I wish he would change his Twitter handle. He's killing me. Let's see, he just made a tweet this morning. He's calling Arizona and saying there'll be at least a 10,000 vote lead for President Trump in Arizona. Molly Hemingway saying on call, Trump team says Trump will win Arizona by 30K, pointing out their data has been right thus far, including the close race in Wisconsin when the media claimed it would be a Biden blowout. And he did call the 300 plus in Florida. So their numbers are good in Trump world.
Always good.
Yeah.
Always good. That's why, if Trump makes any kind of an investment when he leaves office in 4 years, if he makes any kind of investment, it should be in a media company.
Yeah.
He's got good polling. He's got people that understand the American people. He's got people that understand what Americans really care about. He has brought back to life parts of the country that were electorally dead for us. And when I say us, I don't mean Republicans.
No, Americans is what I mean.
Yeah, Americans. He has reanimated parts of the country that were considered lost to the globalist cause. And as we opened up tonight, I mean, why the hell, if I were Tucker Carlson, I would know my worth. I would know that you are Fox News. If you leave, there is going to be a crater left in that shit heap. Just go. Just be. We need to just continue to be independent here.
And we need to keep freaking integrity in mind with this stuff. It's not going to be a. It can't be. Oh, wait a second. Is that last night? That might have been last night. Yeah. It can't be the reverse of what the media is doing on the left and just on the right. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, Frank, because you can't have Republicans off limits on Republican networks and Democrats. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
If he does that, which would be, it would be mind blowing. And he's got the resources to do it, quite obviously. He needs to do it with integrity. And Joe Flynn says, hold the effing line today, Patriots. Hold the line.
The anger.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's... I mean, Stepien's a numbers guy. He's a numbers guy. That's what he does. He is a numbers guy. The 30K up in Arizona, I believe. We had Kelly Ward on last night, Frank, on the show. She was in studio with us.
Uh-huh.
And we had her on, and she was saying that. She was saying, like, I cannot believe they're calling Arizona. I mean, I'm in Arizona right now, so she was here. And Governor Ducey also said something, gave a statement for us, too, that... There are still a gazillion votes to be counted. They didn't count. They counted all the mail and didn't count any of the votes that came in on election day.
I heard that. When I was told for the first time, Fox was calling Arizona for Joe Biden, and I was informed that there was over a million votes that were not counted yet. I said, what are they doing? Why are they doing? But then again, why did they call Virginia. The House lost? Why did they call that the House was lost at 9 p.m. in 2018? Why'd they do that? 9 p.m. when the polls had just closed on the East Coast. You're telling people in the Midwest, Mountain Time, and Pacific Time, hey, no need to even go to the polls. House already lost. Why do they do this stuff? Are they just – they want to be first, or do they have another agenda?
Yeah.
You know,
who the hell wants to be first? Yeah, why would you want to be first in that wrong? Like we went into Virginia in detail when they called Virginia. Now it looks like there's no way that Trump could possibly win Virginia at this point, to be honest. But at the time, they called it way too early. And Rich and I were talking about it in detail. Like, how are they doing this? And he's going through each county explaining what could happen. I really wish we could have gotten him on today.
That guy's probably real tired.
He's on Twitter, so.
Yeah, he probably hasn't slept, actually.
Probably not. Probably not.
I mean,
not.
This is like, you know, if Santa Claus has Christmas, people like Rich have elections. There is no sleeping until every child gets a toy.
So to close today's show, guys, listen, I want everybody to take a breath. Take a breath. This is just the beginning. It is nowhere near the end. Every time we've been in a situation like this where we're kicking and screaming, saying they're cheating, whether it be impeachment, the Supreme Court, whatever they've thrown at us thus far, good wins, God wins. Just take a deep breath. This is not going to just be allowed to. It's not like we've got a Jeb Bush here or a Marco Rubio or a John McCain or a Mitt Romney. We're talking about President Donald J. Trump. And he's fighting for the American people. Take heed in that.
Yes.
You have been listening to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Couldn't see this coming, Val. And...
Me, Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Friday with Frank. Good luck, Frank.
Thanks. Later.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.